few summers ago, I had this great idea that I was going to take down my back wrought iron fence, and it was a good idea because it was falling over. And so as I took apart this fence, I needed to cut it up because it was huge. And so I'm cutting the bottoms, and that was easy. But then it came to the top part of this fence. And so me being a man of not very height, of a whole 5'10", I couldn't quite reach it with this grinding wheel. I had this giant grinding wheel, like this construction grinding wheel. It was awesome. It was ripping through the metal, like it was awesome. And so I thought I had this great idea. I was going to grab, pull this bucket over with my foot, stand on this bucket so I could reach it. It seemed like a good idea at the time. And so as I began to take this giant grinding wheel and apply it to the metal, all of a sudden, as I was on my tiptoes, I felt it release from my hands. And immediately I covered up, you know, my face, my head, and I felt the cord go over my head, and it came back around, hit me in the ribs, and went all the way down my side. Yeah, it didn't feel good, and it left a nice little gash, and I was bleeding, and I thought to myself, you know what, I could have made a better decision there. I probably could have avoided that scar and probably several other scars I have in my repertoire of scars if I would have just not compromised that bucket for the ladder that was just around the corner in the garage. And you know, compromise is something that can be avoided. And we need to be able to look and see how to avoid compromise. And compromise, actually, it can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. But when it comes to spirituality, compromise is always a bad thing. The word itself, compromise, it's an agreement or a settlement or dispute that reached by each other side to accomplish concession or accept standards that are lower than desirable. But how many times we made compromises in our spiritual walks with God that cost us spiritual scars? I can look back at my life and see spiritual scars that I've allowed to happen in my life because of compromises I've made. And I'm sure all of us can attest to that too. And compromise is one of Satan's greatest tools that he uses against us. It can be subtle, it can start out very innocent, but that's what compromise does. It starts very small and works its way up to larger destruction. But let's see if there are some ways to avoid compromise here in the life of Lot that we can apply to our lives. Let's look in the Bible in Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. It's the very first book of the Bible. Genesis, it means beginnings in Hebrew, Bereshit. Genesis chapter 13. We'll start in verse 1. And this will be the beginning of compromise. Genesis 13, verse 1, it says this: Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold. And he went out on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them both. So they could not dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And the Canaanites and Perizzites there dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, Please, let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. For we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please, separate from me. I'll take the left. If you say I'll go to the right, or if you go to the right, then I'll take the left. And here's the beginning of this life of Lot after he's been with Abram for so long. And there as he's followed Abram from Ur of the Chaldees to where he is now. And Lot has been able to see that Uncle Abraham has been a great example for the most part, all the way to where they are now. And Lot saw how Abram listened to God and how he left Ur of the Chaldees and how he, by his own faith, that he's known as the father of faith, left his father's land and entered to where he's going now, to the promised land. And Lot heard how God was with Abraham and that God was going to make Abraham a great nation. And Lot saw how Abram built altars and worshiped God after receiving the promise. Now, here they are, wealthy and populous, and They need to spread out because they need to create some distance between each other because they have so much stuff. And this is where I wish Lot would have deferred to Abram and said, Abram, hey, you know what? I understand we're too big here. I get that. But why don't you go ahead and choose? Or better yet, why don't you give me some advice where I should go? Because Lot's going to put his eyes in the wrong direction here in a second. But this is the first step to avoid compromise, is to get godly counsel. Number one, to get godly counsel and to seek a person or a small group ministry, someone that can give you advice before you make a decision that could cost you compromise. There could be some possible dangers. This can really help in keeping us off that road of compromise. I've been blessed over the years to have a couple mentors in my life that were able to be there that I could ask questions, say, hey, what do you think about this? And I'm thinking I should go down this road. And they came back and asked me questions of, well, are you sure? And is there another road that might be better? And how do you know that God wants you to go down this road? But it's good to have someone in our life that we can do that with. And that's why it's so important with church. As we come to church, we get to fellowship together in the men's ministry, the women's ministry, all the different ministries that God provides here that we should be part of so they can help us maybe possibly stop that compromise from happening in our life. And that's what the church is here, to help us to avoid compromise. Or maybe you're one of those people that people come to. I know there's a couple people that come to me for some unknown reason and ask advice. And I want to make sure that I give them good advice. And I want to make sure that I point them to the Lord and not to man's ideas. And I want to make sure that I ask them questions and say, hey, what do you think? And divert it back to them and ask them. But I want to make sure that I don't tell people what to do. Because if I tell people what to do, they'll keep asking me instead of seeking God. And if I keep telling people what to do, then they won't. It creates unhealthy dependence upon myself. And I don't want that either. I want them to rely on what God wants for them. But Lot had a great example. And for the most part, Abram did a great job in leading him. But I wonder if he could have warned him about the dangerous city that was around them. It would have been great to read. And Lot gave Abram first choice and asked him, well, what do you think? What's the best direction for me to go? But it doesn't say that. Unfortunately, verse 10, check out what it does say. In verse 10 of chapter 13, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of the Jordan. And it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. So he looked and saw. And this is the beginning of Lot's compromise. He looked with his eyes and he saw. This is number two. When it comes to avoiding compromise, we need to guard our eyes. If we're going to avoid compromise, we need to guard our eyes and to make sure what we're looking at, what we're looking for, is what God wants us to do. He saw the plains of the Jordan and didn't see the wicked city amongst it. He just saw what could be. He didn't see the reality of these wicked cities that were there. And many times, compromise will start with what we see. It starts there. Lot lifted his eyes, and that's where it started. This is why guarding our eyes is so important. I mean, the world is so geared to assaulting our vision, assaulting our eye gates, coming into our homes and TV and driving on their freeway and the billboards and the magazines. Everything is trying to enter that eye gate to get us to compromise. That's why if we're going to stand and avoid compromise, we need to guard our eyes. Jesus said in Matthew 6:22 that the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is you in darkness, how great is that darkness? So this eye problem, it could be a real issue. And it was for King David too. Hold your place here and let me show you in 2 Samuel chapter 11 to the right. Hold your place here in Genesis and look at 2 Samuel chapter 11. King David also had this issue of compromise too. And compromise, really, it's throughout the whole Bible. There's so many people who lean towards this compromise of just giving a little and it takes a lot. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, it says this. It happened in the spring of the year at the time when the kings go out to battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent a messenger and took her. And she came to him, and he lay with her, and she was cleansed from her impurity. And she returned to her house, and the woman conceived. So she sent and told David and said, "I am with child." But notice the progression there. First David saw. Well, number one, he shouldn't have been hanging out on the rooftop. You know, while all the rest of the kings were out to battle, he was there at home, hanging out in Jerusalem with his armor off, if you will. And there he was, and he's in the middle of the night, he's out there hanging out, and he sees this woman bathing at night. But look what happened first. He saw her with his eyes, then he beheld her in his heart, then he held her in his arms. But that's how that compromise works. It starts with a look. It starts with what he saw. Because David should have looked at that girl and said, "Whoa, naked chick, get out of there, turn, go back." But he didn't. He looked and he saw and goes, "Hey, naked chick, ooh, I like that." And from that beholding in his heart, that led to the next, "Hey, why don't you get her for me? I'll take her." And that's how we see David fell into this compromise. And this compromise, it went on to lying and sending Uriah the Hittite to murder. They murdered him, basically sent him ahead to the forefront of the army and have him get killed. And David, his whole life, he remembers this compromise. For a whole year, his heart was bitter because of this compromise. And it all started with a look. It all started with him looking at something he shouldn't look at. And that's, it's important for us to realize so much of the things that we look at is geared to make us stumble, to make us compromise. Well, Lot also, he looked towards this wicked city. He looked towards Sodom. And if we're going to avoid compromise, we need to guard our eyes as well. Flip back with me back to Genesis chapter 13. Let's begin to pick up. Unfortunately, I wish I could tell you that Lot did well after this, but he did not. He's going to continue down that road. In Genesis 13, Lot looked and he saw, and this is the beginning really of compromise setting in. Sodom was a wicked city, and he had no place being near it, going towards it, anything with it. Look what comes next for Lot in verse 11 of chapter 13. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and there separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. Look what it says next. And he pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Do you see the progression of his compromise? First he looked towards it. Now he's pitching his tent towards Sodom. He's looking at it. He's considering it. And that brings us to our third way to avoid compromise, and that's don't flirt with sin. Don't even stare at it long enough to enter your heart, because that will start that motion of compromise. My wife is a great cook, and she makes these Heath Bar chocolate chip cookies. And I can be up in my office, you know, hanging out, doing Bible study, whatever, and I'll smell the glorious smell. Is that Heath Bar, my favorite cookie? And she'll come up and say, "Hey, I made, you know, 5,000 of these Heath Bars cookies, and they're everywhere." It feels like that. They're downstairs. They're for everybody else, like not for me. I'm like, okay, I don't need them. You know, they're not good for you. Okay, no problem. But over time, the smell keeps permeating. Maybe I'll just see what they look like. You know I've seen them before, but maybe I'll just go down and see what 5,000 cookies look like. And so I go down, and there they are, all beautifully laid out like little soldiers all over the kitchen counters. And I go, "Oh, wow." And they're all perfectly round and perfectly placed. And I start to stare at them for a while. And next thing you know, if I'm staring at them, would she miss one? I mean, 4,999, really, one? I mean, come on. Someone else is not going to eat one. And so, of course, I have one with some, you know, non-fat milk. And then two, then three. Then I need to get rid of all the evidence of the paper that it laid on, and then full compromise has set in. It is like kryptonite. And I tell you, but it, you sit there and you stare at it, and you think, I'm not going to touch it. I'm just going to look at it. You know, you can look, but don't touch. You know, I had a guy in the gym tell me that. Hey, you know what? When it came to girls, it was okay. You can look, but don't touch. You can look at the menu as long as you eat at home. I said, no, that's not true. You can't even. You shouldn't even look at the menu. You know, you need to guard that eye. You need to guard that gaze. You know, here's Lot with his tent pitched toward Sodom, staring at it. Every time he opened his tent, you know, flap, there he was looking towards this city, this happening city, lights and glamour and everything going on. And there he was staring at it, flirting with sin. And this is the second step of really falling into compromise. And you see, the devil knows exactly what tempts us, what brings us down. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says we need to take every thought captive. Once we start that thought comes in our brain to go and stare at those Heath Bar cookies, we need to take that thought captive. When the devil comes into our mind and says, hey, look at that thing on the internet, we need to take that thought captive. Hey, look at that and long for that, take that thought captive. Put it in its proper place. Because its proper place is not to have a playground in your mind. We need to put it in our proper place. You know, I love the Phillips version of that text where it says, let the word of God act as an umpire. Actually, in Colossians 3:15, it says the same kind of concept. Let the word of God act as an umpire. Every thought that comes in, regard it either as safe or it's out. And we need to take those thoughts captive. Because those thoughts, they won't just stay as thoughts. They'll continue to grow. They'll continue to evolve into something worse. So Lot is now pitching his tents toward Sodom. And just thinking about the sin and then turning towards the sin, then compromise will be the next step. But you notice the progress. First he saw, now he's moving closer to the wickedness. Now he's pitching his tents towards it. Compromise, it starts small, almost unnoticeable, but then it begins to grow. Sometimes our thoughts water that seed of thought, and it begins to grow into a fantasy, into an image, and then it becomes terrible. But it starts small. I'm sure many of us can attest to how we got suckered into something so small, and it got so out of control. I remember when I was 15, I had my first Budweiser beer when I was 15. It was terrible. I don't know why someone drank that. But I started that, and I said, you know, myself, I said, you know what, I'll only have a social drink. And I poured most of it out because it tasted so bad. At 15, it was terrible. Later on, it was different. But at 15, it was terrible. And I remember seeing, I told myself, I wasn't a Christian, obviously, at 15, but I remember telling myself, I'll never, you know, get drunk and I'll just have a social drink on the weekends. And as time went by, okay, I'll only get drunk on the weekends. I won't drink during the week. Then as time went by in high school, you know, I won't get super drunk during the week, just once in a while. Then I was like, I'll only smoke weed on the weekends. And it never happened, and it just keeps escalating. See how that compromise worked? It started when I was 15, just drinking this one little terrible Budweiser beer and turned into a way of life. So beware of that small little crack as the devil wants to get in and make that small crack wider. Well, I wish I could say Lot realized now that compromise was setting in and he would run the opposite direction, but it gets worse. Now, there's going to be five kings that come from the north of Israel. They're going to come down. They're going to conquer four kings in the south of Israel, and two of those kings are going to be the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah. And because at this point Lot is living in the city, these kings, these four kings in the south, are going to be taken captive. All their goods, all their people, they're going to get ransacked by these other five kings. And that's where we'll pick up our story here in verse 11 of chapter 14 now. Genesis 14, verse 11. It says, "Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah," these are the five kings, "and all their provisions and went their way." Here's the worst part, verse 12. "They also took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and departed." Lot is now living in Sodom. Remember, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. So he was supposed to dwell in tents, but now he's living in the city. He'd been staring at that city life for so long and looking through that tent flap. He goes, "You know what?" And he moved closer and closer. Now he's living in Sodom. And because he was living in Sodom, he got taken captive by these five kings from the north. I bet if he wasn't living there, if he was still out in the fields, that the kings wouldn't even bother with him. But because he was there in the city, he was taken as well. He was living with these wicked people in this wicked city, and he gets taken away. And if we're going to avoid compromise, we need to be careful of our company. And that's number four. The fourth way to avoid compromise is to be careful of our company. It's going to affect you. You know, I don't know if Lot was thinking, "Hey, maybe if I get to this city, I'll be able to tell people about the true and living God," but I doubt it. If we're living amongst the pigs, we're bound to get muddy. It's going to happen. Don't think if you hang out with wicked people, it won't affect you. It will. And when I got saved 24 years ago at the age of 22, you know, it was a rough week. You know, things were rough that first week. And I thought maybe I could still hang out with my old friends. And, you know, I wouldn't drink or anything. I would just be the designated driver. And I would just drink a Diet Coke, that kind of thing. But compromise sets in so easy. And that I had to come to the realization that I need to cut them off and to move on. Because they were pulling me down. And it's much easier for them to bring me down than it is for me to lift them up. If your friends don't draw you closer to God, they're pushing you farther away. We need to be careful who we surround ourselves with, who our company is. Lot was content living with these people. And the Bible says that we should be in this world, but not of this world. But we continue to see the progression of this compromise. He looked, and he pitched his tent toward. Now he's living with this wicked people. Well, the story goes on. Uncle Abraham hears that Lot is taken captive and taken up to the north. And actually, this is the farthest north of Israel. It's pretty amazing. I've been to this gate. It's called Abraham's Gate. Supposedly, it's the gate that Abraham went through. It's over 3,500 years old. And it's amazing to see. If any of you guys are coming with us to Israel in February, we'll see this gate. And Pastor John will remind us of this story of this is where Abraham came to rescue Lot. And Abraham had 318 fighting men. And with that, he went up and he rescued Lot and he brought him back. And it's interesting that when he was rescued, guess where Lot went back to? To Abraham's house and to hang out with Abraham, bring all of his herdsmen back together and go a different direction? No, he didn't. Lot went back to Sodom. After he's been rescued, he went back to Sodom. And that's where we find him again. Well, some time has passed, and the wickedness of Sodom, it continues to rise up to God. And God comes down in chapter 18 and has a great conversation with Abram. He comes down, he comes to Abraham to tell him two things. He's going to come and let him know that Abraham, in your super old age of 100, you're going to have a son next year. And also he comes and says, "Hey, you know what? God comes with these two angels with him." So three strangers walk up and meet Abraham. Abraham makes some lamb chops, if you will, and some milk, has them together for Abraham. And he begins to sit with them. And God says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do?" At this point, his name is changed to Abraham. And God says to Abraham that he's going to see if Sodom is that bad, he's going to destroy it, completely wipe it out. And so Abraham, he starts to intercede because he knows that Lot, when he came back from being captive, that he went back to Sodom. And Abraham, hearing that God is going to destroy Sodom, he begins to intercede for Lot. He says, "My Lord, and he actually calls him my Lord Yahweh, the judge of all. If there's 50 righteous in this city, would you destroy? If there's 50 righteous? And the Lord said, no, I won't destroy this city for 50 righteous. And Abraham begins to bargain with God. He goes, what about 45? How about 45? Would you destroy this city for 45? And God goes, no, I won't destroy it for 45. And Abraham gets all the way down to 10 and says, would the Lord destroy this whole city if there was 10 righteous? And the Lord said, no, if there's 10 righteous, I will not destroy the city. I wonder if Abraham was thinking, hey, you know what? I know there's Lot, his wife, he's got two daughters, and maybe they got a couple husbands, or six. So I'm sure Lot has converted, or at least told maybe four other people about God, and maybe they believe in him. Maybe he's, for all those years he's been there, maybe he's influenced a few people. He's hoping. But I love how Abraham intercedes for Lot here. Here's Lot in this place of compromise, and Abraham knows. He's there interceding to God, saying, God, help them. And maybe you have someone who is a prodigal or someone who is living a life of compromise. It's good to keep praying for them, not to give up. Abraham's here praying for Lot, bargaining with God for these at least 10 people. But I'm sure Abraham felt pretty good about his 10 people that I saved the city for 10. But now God is going to send these two angels ahead to the city and see for themselves. And that's where we pick up our story in chapter 19 here in Genesis. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. It says, now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground and said, here, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. And they said, the angels said, no, but we will spend the night in the open square. Here's Lot in the gateway of the city, in the city gate. To be in the city gate, that means you're part of the government, that you're there to be a judge amongst the people. That's where they did all the bartering. That's where they did all the commerce. It was there in the gate. That's where they did all the judging, would be there in the gate. And here's Lot. No longer was he just looking. No longer was he just pitching his tent, looking at Sodom. No longer was he just living in Sodom. But now he's part of their governmental system. And if we're going to avoid compromise, we need not to be part of this world system. Number five, if we're going to be avoiding compromise, we need not to be part of this world system because we have a different world system. It may cost you your witness adopting the judgments of the world. In James 4:4, it says, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whoever therefore will be friends of the world is an enemy of God. We can't be friends with this world. This world system, it's got nothing for us. And Satan has a three-part cocktail that he's trying to destroy us with. He's trying to use our own flesh, his enemy influence, and the world system to press us into its mold, to bring us down, to cause compromise in our life. So Lot is here. He's a citizen of Sodom. And he's involved in judging the government. And these angels, they're not even comfortable to stay at his house. They'd rather stay in the open square than go to Lot's house. And could you imagine, man, if a couple of angels came to my house, I'd hope they'd be okay with staying at my house and rather spend the night out and outside. You know, but here's Lot, and he's going, man, please, please, you don't want to stay out here. Bad things happen at night in Sodom. I'm sure he knew. He knew the wickedness that was going on. As we'll see here later on, His righteous soul was vexed because of it. And in verse 3, it goes on. It says, but he insisted strongly, Lot did. So they turned into him and entered his house. And then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before them lay down the men of the city, and the men of Sodom, both old and young, and all the people every quarter surrounded the house. And they called out to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we might know them carnally or sexually. So Lot went out to them, out the doorway, and he shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly." Here's Lot. Imagine the scene. He gets a knock on his door, and he has this mob of men, young and old, from every quarter, looking for these two beautiful angels, no doubt, as they came in to take refuge in Lot's house. And he's saying, "Hey, Lot, send out these men to us that we may sexually abuse them, forcefully rape them." That's what their desire was. And Lot's going, "No, don't do it." But notice what he says to them. He calls them friends, calls them brethren. This mob of angry rapist men is calling, Lot's calling them brethren. His life is that compromised. He can't tell the difference between who his real friends are and who his brethren are. Because earlier, God called these angels and God, "Brethren, come into me." And that's the truth. That's our brethren. But here's Lot calling these, the men of the world, brethren. And this isn't good. This is a bad part of Lot's life. You know, he's so personally compromised that he refers to this homosexual rapist as friends, which leads us to our last avoidance of compromise, and that is that we need to be repenting. When our life is that compromised, we need to repent. We need to leave the place where we're at and go a different direction. Lot's at that place. His life is compromised, and he needs to repent. He needs to change directions. He needs to leave that current place. And sometimes that's what we need to do. We're in a place that we're living a life of compromise. We need to leave that place. We need to leave those people because they're going to eventually bring you down. We see the wishes of what they want, this mob. When compromise is full grown, we find ourselves in total sin. We need to repent and to come back to God. And I think a lot of us, it hits us all of a sudden. What am I doing here? Why am I doing this? I need to go back. Once you realize that your life is compromised like that, it's time to go back. It's time to go back to God and ask God for forgiveness and to change our hearts. Lot is so compromised. His walk is so compromised. It gets worse for him. Look what he does in verse 8. In verse 8, he says, "No, don't do anything to these wicked, don't do wickedly to these guys." But in verse 8, "See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you that you may know them, do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." Man, can you imagine? His life is so compromised, he's willing to give up his only daughters to this angry mob instead of these two angels. I mean, I don't know about ladies, you, but would you want Lot to be your father? I mean, I don't think so. His life is so compromised. He's willing to give up his two daughters to this mob of angry homosexual men. Not a good idea. This is full-blown compromised. And when we're full-blown compromised like this, it doesn't just cost us. It costs the ones that love us. It will cost our friends, it will cost our family. When we live a life of compromise, it will cost others too. I mean, every time I was arrested, my mom, she felt it too. Every time my name was in the paper, she felt it too. You know, when it was a warrant for my arrest, she was affected as well. You know, when we live a life of compromise, it affects those around us as well. And that's something to consider. If I do this, will it cost others? Lot's life is so compromised that he's willing to offer up his daughters, but praise God, the angels are not going to let that happen. Look at verse 9. And they said, and here's the mob, and the mob said to them, "Stand back," they said. "This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with him, with you, than with them." So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to breaking down the door. But the men, the angels, reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them. and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great. So they became weary trying to find the door. And picture this scene. You don't want to mess with these angels. Here they are trying to press Lot, you know, against his porch and against his doorway. And so the door opens, the angels pull him in. And then now all these men are stricken with blindness. In Hebrew, this word blindness, it doesn't just mean like they couldn't see. It meant a disorder, a brain disorder, in the sense that you were so confused you couldn't figure out which way you were going. They really affected them that much because they were not accepting. We're not giving the daughters. That's not an option. But blindness and confusion, that's an option for you. And that's what these angels did to them. These two angels ended up literally having to drag Lot and his family out. These angels, they immediately took Lot and his family, his two daughters and his wife, and they dragged them out of Sodom. It says they had to pull them out forcibly by their hand because they still love Sodom. They still love the compromised life. Even so much as the angels are dragging out the family, Lot's wife turned back, looked back. And the Bible says that she was turned to a pillar of salt because she longed for it. She didn't want to leave it, even though her husband was willing to offer up her daughters, and this place was evil and wicked. But these two angels took them out, and God destroyed Sodom with fire and brimstone, it says. God delivered his people. Even as these three people were left, it's just Lot and his two daughters, God saved them. And look what it says in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Here's the New Testament commentary of Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot. If you want to turn there, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, or I'll read it to you. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. And it says, "And turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelt among them, tormented his righteous soul from the day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of the temptation and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment." The Bible says that Lot was righteous. His heart was righteous. Even though he lived, and it says day after day, his righteous soul was vexed by all that wickedness. And it reminds us that he couldn't make an influence to them, but they definitely were influencing him. And that's what compromise will do. When we find ourselves in compromise, we need to repent. We need to turn back. This is the only way that we're going to be living that life right before God today. And today they're excavating a place in the Dead Sea. And again, any of you guys are coming with us to Israel, we'll see this area in the Dead Sea where they found this city towards the south, where it looks like molten lava melted this city, and some of it's underwater. It's pretty amazing. But we have seen the ways to avoid compromise and the evidence of the effect of it, how to avoid it, and the problems that we face with it. See, the devil is hard at work in this area. He's looking to compromise our lives. He's looking to bring us down, whatever he can do to bring us down. And here's the problem, too. The devil he's patient. He's willing to just little by little chip at you little by little, a little bit here and a little bit there to bring us down. There's a great story of this redwood tree that's found in Redwood National Park. And this tree is considered to be thousands of years old. It's huge. It's ginormous. And it's been hit by lightning twice. It's survived two fires as well. And this tree was amazing. It was gigantic. And so one day, the rangers found this tree on its side in a clear, beautiful day. As they examined the trunk of the tree at the base, they saw that little tiny beetles over hundreds of years had eaten their way through the base of this tree that caused it to fall. So it was able to stand the temptations of the wind and the storms and the lightning. But it was that period over time, that little eating away at the foundation of that tree that caused it to fall. And the devil uses temptation that same way. He nibbles a little here and a little there, cutting that trunk of our lives away to cause compromise, to bring us down. So we need to be careful. We need to avoid compromise. And compromise will always take us farther than we want to go. And compromise will always make us stay longer than we want to stay. It will always take us farther than we want to go. And it will always make us stay longer than we want to stay. That's what compromise does. And maybe if you're here today, you found yourself on one of these stages of compromise, it's not too late to stop. It's not too late to turn back. It's not too late to end it and to go back and go back and be close with God and to walk closer with God, to come back to the fellowship or to come back to that relationship that you need to come back to. You can stop, repent, and come back to Jesus. He's only a prayer away. But the choice is ours. We have to choose. You can choose compromise or not. But the choice is up to us. We get to choose. Amen.